We have a halacha that bread requires a blessing of hamotzi. Even if you eat a small crumb of bread, it requires hamotzi. Now, if you eat things that are mizunot, what constitutes mizunot? So, one of the classical cases of mizunot is borderline mizunot. What we often call mizunot, the most common mizunot that we know, are usually borderline mizunot. For example, pizza, many cakes that have a hard batter, that the batter isn't a liquid batter. So really, the second you have a dough, flour mixed with water, so that should be bread. When does it lose its status as bread? When we add other flavorings, when we add sugar, when we add cocoa, when we add shortening. So then there's a discussion between Ashkenazi and Sephardi poskim, machlokes Ramah Shulchan Aruch. How sweet does challah have to become a mizonot? How much sugar or honey or whatever it is do you have to add for it to lose its status as bread? What's pizza? Pizza ordinarily is flour mixed with water and milk, and you put a layering on top. You put tomato sauce and cheese. Now, what happens when you bake it? So we know in halacha, and how do we make pizza? So we take flour, we add water and milk. In Israel, in the United States, they add apple juice. The dough is made with milk in Israel. How could the pizza be not chalavi? The cheese is chalavi. No. So, the second we add another flavor aside from flour and water, we start having a risk of losing the status of bread. How much flavoring needs to be added? So that depends if you're Sephardi or Ashkenazi. Do you need? Amen. Do you need to just taste it, or does it need to be a central taste? You taste this is sweet, sweet, sweet. So that we'll discuss, or you'll get to with Rav Listman exactly the differences. But pizza, so if the pizza is made with flour and milk, for example, so that's never going to be hamotzi. That's not bread that has an additive. That's flour with milk. In Israel, it's a problem because even the milk is a huge percentage water. So even if you say flour and milk, it's really flour and water and milk, because the milk itself is diluted. Yeah. So wait, so that's what we're getting to now. That's what we're going to get to now. So all the things that are mizonot that are borderline bread, that they're really flour and water, you can make a mizonot neat for now, just so you don't stand there in suspense. Amen.
Just give the halacha for the Gemara.
I'm assuming he's going to eat one piece of pizza or maybe two. So all the things that are borderline hamotzi, that they're really like bread, they're flour and water, but with additives. You take a kokish cake. What do? They take flour and water, but they add a lot of sugar, and they add cocoa, and they add shortening, and they add all kinds of other flavors. So that's really flour and water, that's bread, but that has added taste. So that's called pat haba bekisni. Because in the Gemara's time, the way they used to do it is they take dough, and they put inside all kinds of spices. And at the end of the meal, after everyone was finished eating, so their dessert was this very spicy bread. This bread that had all kinds of different, I don't know if spices is the right word, they put all kinds of additives, and you couldn't eat a lot of it. It was the type of, you eat, there are certain cakes or cookies that they add so much taste, so much flavorings, that you could only eat a little bit of it. So that's called patababikisnin. Now, pat haba bekisnin has a special law. Because it's borderline between bread and mizonos, so an example of that, there are different versions of pat haba bekisnin. Let's just go back a step. Let's say dry crackers. They're also pat haba bekisnin. Why isn't the cracker bread? It's flour and water. So say, yeah, but if it's baked so thin, or because of the salt that's added, so it becomes pat haba bekisnin. Now, pat haba bekisnin has special laws. What we say about pat haba bekisnin is, if you eat a small amount, you're not eating a meal, so then you make a mizonot, you finish eating, you make an al mechia, finished, you ate patabah bekisnin in small amounts, not as a meal. So then we say you make a mezonot and you treat it like regular mezonot, like we're accustomed to treating mezonot. But what happens when you come and you start sitting down? You're famished. So you open a box of temtems and you take out the hummus and you take out the cheese and you start polishing down temtems with cheese and trina, and then you add vegetables and tomatoes and I see people salivating. So then you're eating a meal. You're not eating temtems. You're taking this patababik, this borderline bread, and you're saying, that's my meal now. I'm sitting and feasting. I buy 5 pounds of kokosh cake and I come down after Tisha B'Av, after the fast. That's my meal. That's what I'm eating. So then Halacha says that you have to wash your hands and make amotzi on that and bench after that. Because you can't say you weren't eating bread, because it's borderline between bread and not bread. So the way you're going to treat it, meaning are you going to eat it as a meal or not, defines whether you have to treat it as bread or not. Now, the problem we run into is, what's the border? How much pizza do I eat and it's called a meal? And how much pizza do I eat and I say, nah, that was just a snack? So there are two opinions. One opinion says, we have another place in halacha. Well, we'll start with the easier opinion. I'm sorry, let's go back. The simple opinion says, it depends on the person. You know, you sit down to eat a meal, that's a meal. You didn't sit down, you didn't eat an amount that for you is a meal. It's not a meal. That's one opinion. But the more accepted opinion is that we take the definition of a meal from another place in halacha where we need to define a meal. Halacha says, by an Erev, when you establish an Erev for Shabbos, so you have to set up a meal. You have to set up two meals there. So then how much is a meal? So over there we have two opinions, whether it's half a loaf of bread, either a loaf of bread that consists of 8 eggs or 6 eggs. So it comes down to that your meal is going to be either the volume of 3 eggs or 4 eggs. And if we say that that's the definition of a meal, so then you could say, well, do I eat that volume of pizza? And how do I evaluate the pizza? Do I evaluate the flour or also the cheese and everything that's on top of it? Huh? So the Magen Avraham has an opinion which is very accepted in halacha, which is a very big stringency. He says, let's say you eat 10 temtems. But after you finish those temtems, you're going to have your yogurt, and you're going to have cheese, and you're going to have vegetables, and everything together is going to come out the whole meal. You didn't eat a whole meal of the mezonos. So then he says that means you ate a meal. Then we say that even though you didn't eat that much of the patabah bekisnin, this bread that's all spiced, but because in general you sat down for a meal, so that bread gets the din of a meal, and you have to make hamotzi on it. And that's I think the Mishnah Brewer goes with that, if I remember correctly. Right. So that's what comes out. That's why Rabbi Feinstein says, being that we go with this opinion, he says you have a big problem, because today you come to a wedding, and you sit down, you come to the smorgasbord. You're going to take 2 pieces of cake. But after those 2 pieces of cake, you're going to have those little fish sticks and a few other things. At the end of the day, you had a meal. That constitutes a meal. And if that constitutes a meal, then before you wash, you really have to wash on the cake.
It doesn't matter if you're walking around or sitting down.
No, it doesn't seem to make a difference whether you're walking around or sitting down. No. So for benching, we say you have to have eaten a kezait b'chadei achilat pras, like we discussed half a year ago, that in order to be obligated to bench, you have to have a kezait, a flour, however big the volume of a kezait is, in a span of 3 minutes, 4 minutes, whatever kezait achilat pras is. But for making a motzi, there it doesn't matter how long it's going to take you to eat it. Bottom line, if you're eating a meal, you have to wash. That's why when you asked if you have to wash over the pizza, so I asked you, what are you going to eat from everything here, not just the pizza? People say, I only had one slice of pizza, but you all had 2 bags of french fries. Mm. So that doesn't matter. You had a meal. You have to wash over that slice of pizza. That's where we run into problems. Now, why wasn't I concerned that maybe the pizza was made only with milk? So two reasons. Firstly, because I'm pretty sure that they mix water that's not only milk, and Secondly, because even the milk is diluted with water. But on that alone, I wouldn't rely. I wouldn't rely on the fact that the milk is diluted with water. I would. I'm basically relying that I, as far as I know, they don't make it with only milk. They make it with milk and water.
No, I know there's an encounter over here. They make pizza with orange juice instead of water.
Instead of water. So there you run into machlokas between Rav Ovadia Yosef and Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, which really the main machlokas is on Pesach. On Pesach, you have companies that take juices and they mix it with flour, and they say, being that it's juice and flour, so that's not that's never going to become bread. That's not chametz, and you could sell it as Pesach cake, Pesach cookies, and they make delicious cookies that way. And Rav Ovadia, obviously I'm not going into all the details. Like, and Rav Ovadia says that's kosher. He gives it a hechsher, and he sells it on Pesach. And they say in Rav Eliyahu's name that he says, no, that's chametz. So why is that relevant to us? Because whatever is chametz is also going to be defined as bread. They go hand in hand.
Uh-huh.
Why is it chametz? Because we're saying that the juice, really a main constituent is water. Mm-hmm. So that's considered like you added water to the flour. Mm-hmm. So I didn't see anything written. I didn't see in writing what Rav Eliyahu and what Rav Ovadia Yosef said. This is what I was quoted in their name.
Mm-hmm. So I was told if you can taste the sweetness.
Right. So if you could taste the... It depends on if you're a Sephardi or an Ashkenazi. That's the truth. For example, on Shabbos, we take sweet challahs and we make hamotzi on them. They're sweet. You taste the sweetness. But we say it's not that sweet. So Sephardim say the second it's off, it's not flour and water. The second you taste a little bit of a difference, that's it. It's a mizono. Because bread, by definition, is flour and water. And once you're starting to add different flavorings, so it starts losing the name of bread. Now, how much you'll agree with me that if I make cake just because it's made of flour and water, that really isn't bread. But we say that it's borderline bread. It's if you'll eat enough of it, it could be. You'll have to treat it as bread.
Can I ask you one more practical question for right this minute?
I'm with you, yeah.
So, you know, when you wash, when you're done, you're supposed to like wash, say the bracha, and then dry your hands with something.
Right.
If there's nothing to dry your hands with, can you, because the reason why you want to say bracha, let's lay down, if you're supposed to before, afterwards or something.
You're supposed to wash your hands and make the blessing before you dry your hands.
Right. And if there's nothing to dry your hands with,
yeah.
And you like pour a little more water on it, that way you're making the blessing before you're doing an actual action, is what I heard is the reason why you did the bracha before you dry the hands. Or
how are you going to dry your hands in that?
That causes, I don't know, then you can let it just sort of air out.
So we say that if a person dries his hands on his clothing, that's not a good thing spiritually.
Right. Even if you wash them 3-4 times? Like,
I think so. Yeah. I think it's the concept of drying hands. I don't understand in spiritual things too much. But
if you wash your hands a third time, it actually removes the water that took out the... I don't know.
That's true, but still, I think the point that's being made is you shouldn't dry your hands on your clothing. Not necessarily because of the impure water. I would like to look it up, but that's what I think. That's what I remember. If you don't mind my germs, you're welcome to drink it.
Oh, no, I don't. I do mind your germs.
Yeah, I would also. You should have a way of drying your hands. So try to get a paper towel from somewhere to dry your hands on, and then
there's a box right there.
Is it really, or you just
water
paper
for it?
Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shachol Niyeh Bidvarom.
Amen. Okay. Any other questions? We covered that?
No, thank you. I don't eat those olives.
You don't eat those? It's two pizzas stuck together, man.
I can't eat this one.